Glad to have you back this evening. In the first psalm, I want to go ahead and read that to get us back on track here. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Six verses at the beginning of one of the most encouraging and precious books in the Bible, the book of Psalms. Now, not every psalm is necessarily an encouragement. There are some that have a little different flavor to them. But generally, throughout the psalms, you have thoughts of emotions that people experience, and then you have the encouragement of faith in God. And we mentioned this morning that as it concerns the world in which we live, there is a pervading negative influence all around us. And it's important for Christians to stand firmly on the promises that God has given and to have a positive and productive and blessed life. And so when he says, how blessed, and this is a New American Standard version, how blessed is he who does not do these things, then he's talking about almost an exclamation point kind of idea, the idea of how happy, how blessed are those who do not walk in the path of the wicked, or stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. We looked at this in our lesson this morning. We mentioned three steps that can be taken in a downward direction that will produce a very negative life, a miserable existence. And that would have to do with not heeding the instructions that he gives in this passage. When we take these three steps, what we find is that we're listening to the counsel and advice of the world instead of listening to the counsel and advice of God, and as it is found in his word. So you look at these things for just a moment, and what you discover is that there's a positive and a negative. We can't have a positive, productive, blessed life if we're engaged in the things that he mentions at the beginning of this passage. There are some negatives that have to be avoided, some things that have to be put out of our life before we can enjoy the good, positive, happy life that Jesus wants us to have. But make no mistake about it, having a good, positive life is not just about eliminating the negative. We might stay away from these negative influences, but there also needs to be some positive influences as well. And so that's what we want to do this afternoon in the few moments that we have. Because he says, how blessed are those who do not do these three things. And then he turns around with that little conjunction, B-U-T, and he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So what you notice first here, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That seems to be the antidote, or the corresponding opposite to listening to the counsel of the world, is to delight in the counsel of God. Lloyd John Ogilvy, in one of his writings, said, consistent, habitual, daily reading provides us with an assurance of God's love, his providence, and intervening grace. It's so important to read the Word of God and to study it. One of the questions that sometimes come to mind is this: well, how do you delight in the Lord? You know, as soon as I delight in the Lord, then I'll start reading the Bible. And so we're waiting for that feeling to come. And we say, well, as soon as I have that positive feeling, I'll start doing it. But the opposite is really true. You have to meditate and study on God's Word to come to the point where you actually delight in it. So you have to take the action before the feeling follows. And that's often the way it is in a lot of things in life. Sometimes the feeling comes after the action. Sometimes the feeling comes before the action. Peter says this, long for the pure milk of the word that you may grow in respect to your salvation. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Babies long for milk, and Christians ought to long for God's word, because that's where we get our nutrients and our sustenance in life. Have you ever known a baby that just quietly waited when the baby became hungry? When the baby just kind of was reached the point where the tank was on empty? Does the baby just sit there and say, well, whenever you're ready, Mama? No, the babies don't do that. They express their anxiety and concern, and they want that food, and they want it now. Christians need to long for the milk of God's word like a baby longs for his or her mother's milk. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 11, we read about the Berean Christians who the Bible says they were searching the scriptures daily. They were, as one version translates, they were examining the scriptures. That's even closer connection, the idea of digging into it. Sometimes when we read the Word of God, it gives us some reasons why we ought to read it. That's kind of amazing. You think, well, why should I read the Bible? Well, sometimes reading the Bible gives us a reason to read the Bible. One of my favorite Proverbs is Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. The healing of your body and refreshment to your bones, I believe, is a figurative way of saying you're going to be happy. You're going to experience joy. You're going to have a productive, positive life and existence in this world. And where does it start? By trusting in the Lord with everything you've got, and not by leaning on your own understanding. We don't know how to get to where we want to go. It's not within man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 17, or 10, verse 23. So God's word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. So that positive life begins with that kind of attitude towards the Word of God. But notice he also says something else here. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. Now that's kind of an interesting consideration. Do we read the Bible? Do we study God's Word? And for what purpose do we read it? For what purpose do we study it? Is it something that we have on our things to do list that we need to check off? And so we just kind of get through those chapters real quick and say, got that done, as though we're in some kind of a merit-based spiritual system where we got to do this, this, and this in order to be approved of God. Do we read the Bible and we get through it just to avoid the guilty feeling of saying, well, I went through the whole day and I didn't read any, I didn't study any, I didn't pray and so on? Or do we delight in reading God's Word? Do we make it the focus throughout our day? I think maybe that the goal of some of the things we do spiritually, we all are arranged differently, and different things work for different people. But sometimes it may be good to look at your study of God's Word and maybe fine-tune it a little bit. It might not be simply a matter of, I got to get through the Bible in 1 year. I mean, that is a good goal, and that is a very good practice. But in addition to that, or maybe instead of that, for some people, it might be good to look at it like, what can I get out of my study today that I can bring with me to think about for the rest of the day? Now, if you're assigned to read a certain section of Scripture, then you need to be looking in that Scripture to find something that you can bring with you. Something that you can mull on and think about for the rest of the day. It might be something that has to do with the character of God. You might want to think about His goodness or His mercy or some other aspect of His divine nature. It might be that you want to think about something in the Scripture that's related to changing your life. You read it through it and say, I need to do better at that. And so you pick out a verse and you bring it through the day thinking about that change that you need to make. It might be a verse of scripture that relates to overcoming a temptation or a sin in your life. And so there might be any number of things you could do to make your study more productive and delight in doing God's word. It might be a memory verse that you write down and commit to memory, or at least read over from time to time throughout the day. You know, we want to be like scripture. We want that positive life that doesn't hang around all the time and listen to the world all the time, but instead delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it day and night. That's what we would like. So why don't we just pray that that happens? And then tomorrow morning we'll get up and feel that way. Well, here's the thing. Things don't happen overnight. Change is sometimes slow and often very, very difficult. We live in an instant society of technology. Just at our house, they're digging up to put in fiber optics so we can get our internet faster, you know. It looks to me like you're just making a mess, but they're getting that line in there to make it faster so you can jump on there. You have these meals. We have plenty of them in our freezer. I guess they're put in for me to eat during my lunch. You know, it's right there, frozen things. You throw them in the microwave, turn it on, bam, it's ready in just a few minutes. Everything's done fast. But the secret of the matter is that spiritual growth and positive living and having a delight in the Lord and His Word and meditating upon it is not something that you develop overnight. It's the process of spiritual growth is required. Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And so what we already said is we've got to stay away from that bad path over here. We don't need to stand on that path. We don't need to sit in that seat, or like he said, or like we said this morning. But what do we need to do? Well, what we need to do is begin to see our mind as a receptacle for good things to think about. And so what we want to do, instead of filling our minds with the negative and worldly thoughts that maybe television or internet or magazines can put in there, instead leave this mind available for these good and pure and noble thoughts. And the reading of the scripture helps us to put those good thoughts in there. And then when you reach the beginning of a new day, it's time to refill it. It's time to recharge it, you know, and not just say, well, I've done that for the week, you know, but to realize that it's a continual process putting in into the mind. Well, that sounds good. Somebody says, well, I know I need to avoid destructive philosophies, associations, and habits. I know I need to seek the Lord's counsel and delight in His Word and meditate upon it day and night. But I just don't know if I can do that. You ever feel that way? Feel like, that's just awful hard to do. I've tried it. I just keep failing. I try it for a while, and I have to step back and start all over again. Well, Jesus didn't say it was going to be easy. It does take effort. And when you sit back and say, well, I just can't do it, well, join the club. We can't do it by ourselves, but we can with the help of the Lord. And that's the key in the matter. We can't really do anything positive and powerful and productive spiritually without Jesus. And that brings us to our next point, by the way, and that is we need to draw our strength from Him. And so I move on to another verse here that describes the person who delights in the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night, who does not take those three downward steps that we mentioned at the beginning of the chapter. But this person is described in very powerful ways. Notice, a picture is worth about 1,000 words, they say. And so this is a beautiful picture and gives us some motivation here. What are some characteristics of someone who delights in God's Word? Someone who lives a positive, powerful life that is very blessed by the Lord and very positive in its outreach. Well, one of the characteristics is that that person will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And the picture I get here from the New American Standard here is that this is a security. A tree firmly planted is a lot more secure than a tree you buy down at Lowe's or Home Depot or someplace, and you bring it home in the back of your truck and you stick it in the yard and you just set it right there in the bucket. Well, that tree is going to live for a while, but eventually it's not going to be able to sustain itself. It needs to have some stability, and that involves digging a hole and planting it and making sure that it's planted in there firmly so it can take root. Well, you'll notice here the inspired writer says that it is planted by streams of water. It's planted right where it needs to be to get the moisture. And if you think about things from the perspective of someone who lived in Palestine, maybe in a part of the world where rain is not as commonplace as it might be in other places, being near a water source could be rather important. He didn't say it's like a tree firmly planted miles away from the nearest water source. You know, we are, as Christians, trying to get as close to the source of nourishment that we can. And so by the streams of water is a beautiful thing. We need that stability and that strength. You know, the Apostle Paul, on a number of occasions, uses this idea, this metaphor of a tree and its root system to describe Christians. Let me just give you one of those in Colossians 2. At verse 6, he says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." You know what he says there? Just picture this in your mind. The tree is planted, firmly rooted, and then it is built up and established in the faith. We get things backwards if we just try to be interested in the above ground part of the tree. We want the tree and the branches to be out there and the fruit to be out there, without giving any concern to the root system. Some trees, when you plant them, will just sit there, and they just seem like they're just not growing. And 2 or 3 years later, they all of a sudden they just take off. Why is that? They needed some time to establish their roots before they could produce the upward growth of the tree itself. And that's what it is with Christians. We need that time, put in that energy to delight in the law of the Lord, and to meditate on it day and night. And you're thinking about it, and you're thinking about it. Sometimes it feels like, man, I'm just not really getting it. I'm not really living the way I should be living. I'm not really putting it into practice the way I know I could. But if you just keep on persevering and keep on putting out the effort in being part of the church and being part of the worship service and being part of a daily study and prayer life, eventually things will fall into place and the growth will become more and more evident. But you have to put in the time. I'm afraid a lot of times we're just not willing to do that. We want the instant result. Just enough growth to make us respectable before others, maybe, but not enough to be where we want to be or where we can be with the help of God. So that's one characteristic. It's firmly planted. It has security. Another one that we have here, another characteristic, is that it yields its fruit in its season. A positive, productive, blessed life is a fruitful life. And we hear a lot about that. I want to be a fruit-bearing Christian, and we ought to be. Jesus said, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." John chapter 15 and verse number 8. What does it mean to bear fruit for Jesus? Well, we can let Scripture answer that question in a lot of different ways, but one important way is found in Ephesians 5 and verse 9. Paul says that the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Christians, that's what we're about. When we delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on it day and night, What we're really doing is we're just trying to learn what pleases God. We know that faith pleases Him, and so faith, when it comes by hearing, it involves our activity in doing what He tells us to do. Here He describes it as goodness, righteousness, and truth. We bear fruit in doing good works. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says that we are created in Christ for good works. We have a purpose. And as we meditate on God's word, there's a lot in there about what shall I then do? How shall I then serve God? How can I return love to Him for what the love He gave to me? How can I do that? We can learn things, and then we can begin practicing those things and doing things for other people. In order to produce fruit, we have to be connected to the vine. Jesus said this in John 15. He said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." And then he adds, "For apart from me, you can do nothing." So bear fruit. Fruitfulness in its season, he says. And I guess that means that fruit requires some patience, doesn't it? You plant a strawberry plant and go out the next day and pick your strawberries, right? Larry would know something about that. No, it takes some time, doesn't it? Some cultivation. You plant a garden and you go out and nothing's happened. And then maybe after a rain, a few days later, you look out there and you'll see little blades of grass creeping through the surface. And you get excited about that. It takes time. And so we give ourselves some time in producing fruit. Paul said, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God was giving the increase." There he's talking about reaching out to other people. The same is true in our own lives, that we plant the seed of God's word and we water it, and God gives the increase in the sense that He helps us to grow spiritually. And one final point about this I wanted to make, and that is that when we live that positive, blessed life, that he said, he promises here that when we delight in His word, when we meditate on it day and night, it will cause us to prosper. I want you to think about prosperity for a moment. What does it mean to prosper? Normally we think of dollars and cents. Think of the church, we think of numbers. We might think of this or that, any number of different things. But prosperity is connected to where we've been planted. And Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, "One who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, he is the one whose house will stand in the end." Remember that if we seek increase, if we seek prosperity of some other sort than what God promises, it's not going to satisfy us in the end. We want to seek to please God and to do things as He would have us do them. I might paraphrase, and I know that this is something you're familiar with. When Joshua was taken over for Moses, and God spoke to him and gave him some instructions. Do you remember how much he said about sticking with the word of God? He said, "Only be strong and very courageous, and be careful to do all the law which Moses my servant commanded you." And then he said, "Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Where is success found? It's found rooted deeply in the will of God. If we can discover what it is that God wants us to do, and that's through reading and studying His word and applying it appropriately to our own lives, then we can be successful. And once we have discovered that, don't turn away from it. Just keep pursuing it. You see, you had the picture of that one fellow out there standing by the way, wanting to join in with the crowd that's going nowhere fast. And you have this other person out here is delighting in God's word. And when he discovers what it is that God wants, he's going to grab hold and go for the ride of his life. He's going to follow God. He's going to hold on tight. And he's never going to let go. And that's because he will be plugged in to the infinite resources of Almighty God. So I'm going to say this, and that is that we have every reason to be, as Christians, to be positive if we will trust in Him and follow His truth. But as you notice in the book of Psalms in the first chapter there, if we don't, then He compares us to the chaff which the wind drives away. He says we will not stand in the day of judgment, because we cannot stand on our own. We cannot stand by following the world and entering into the path of the wicked. We cannot stand by our own strength. We can only stand in Christ and in His Word. Let me encourage you to do that, and let me encourage you, if you've not already obeyed the gospel of Jesus, to do that, to live that positive, productive life that He promises by putting your faith and confidence in Him and obeying the gospel. And maybe this afternoon that you need our prayers, we'd be glad to pray with you and for you. But in all of this, we want to encourage you to walk in the right path. While we stand and sing, if you need to respond, we ask you to come even now.